Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Andrew David James, only on LA Talk Radio.
I want to be Michael Sterling.
Oh, wait a minute. Is he here?
Let me be Michael Sterling.
Is he
Sterling.
Here? He was caught in traffic.
How you doing, man?
I'm good, buddy.
Good to see
Thank you.
You.
Thank you. Are you here?
I am here. I am
fully
present.
Physically
right.
And
barely.
Emotionally. And yeah.
The heat sucks it out of you, doesn't it?
I know.
Man, I was drooping the other day. I was walking around. I was just wilting on the pavement here in L.A. It's
now, that
hot,
said,
hot
the caveat
week.
To that story is that he lives in Malibu. So how hot can it really get
in
Malibu?
We don't complain much, I'll admit. Although I will say that Malibu was hotter than Thousand Oaks when I drove through. It was 101 in Malibu and 100 in Thousand Oaks. I couldn't believe it. I know. And we were dealing with 115 in Canoga Park the other
day. Yeah, I heard.
So certainly a lot going on there. People stay safe in the heat. Obviously, I don't know if you've heard, but I guess all over the country, there's been a lot of air conditioning failures and deaths from the heat and stuff. So keep yourself hydrated and safe out there, people.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So things are hot in California.
That's right. And
in
here
more
it is,
ways
Michael,
than one, because we've got two spectacular guests with us here in the studio.
No doubt.
Yeah.
Obviously, July 12th, and we do. We have a great show for our listeners today.
We do indeed, Andrew. We have with us an amazing vocalist who comes to us from Las Vegas, the Las Vegas stage, to talk about his latest CD release and work on behalf of Alzheimer's research. Mm-hmm. We also have a great directing talent who currently serves as the producing artistic director for the East West Players. Please welcome Chadwick Johnson and say it for me, sir.
Snehal Desai.
All right.
Yeah.
You heard that.
Snehal
Desai.
Correct.
All right.
It's a beautiful name, and if people want to look him up real quick, you can certainly find his face out there. It's Snehal, and then the last name is Desai, Desai. So obviously,
and he's good looking too. So you know, it's worth the search, right?
And speaking of good week, we'd encourage you to log on real quick and check out Chadwick Johnson. We're going to be talking with him some too. Some really great stuff we get to talk to you guys about. Thank you so much for being here. We appreciate it.
Absolutely, guys.
Will you guys hold on while we go pay some bills?
Happy to.
Say no. I want a guest to say no to that someday. Nope. You talk to me now or never. They've never
you can
done
pay him on your phone while we're sitting here, I'm
that's
sure, right?
Right? That's right. That's exactly
too
right.
To go outside, so.
Well, Michael, obviously we're going to talk to our guest more in just a moment here, but before we do that, we should thank our sponsors.
We should indeed. We'd like to thank, ladies and gentlemen, Princess Cruises for coming on board as presenting sponsors for State of the Arts during 2018. A pioneer in excellence on the high seas for meaningful travelers who seek enriching experiences. Only Princess Cruises offers cruise vacations to help you come back new, providing fresh perspectives by connecting you with nature, cultures, and loved ones in a new way.
One of the best-known names in cruising, Princess Cruises first set sail in 1965 with a single ship cruising to Mexico. Today, the line has grown to become the third largest cruise line in the world, renowned for innovative ships, an array of onboard options including extravagant entertainment, and an environment of exceptional customer service. A recognized leader in worldwide cruising, Princess carries approximately 1.7 million guests each year to more than 360 destinations worldwide aboard a fleet of 17 modern vessels.
Experience the next wave in vacation travel at the end of each month from September to August. One lucky winner will win a cruise for two in a balcony stateroom on board one of the new Ocean Medallion class ships. Make sure to listen to this program every week and every month, as we just said, between September and August, that you will have this opportunity. Go on to the LA Talk Radio Network
page.
Website,
right.
And then go to our page, State of the Arts. You will see a beautiful logo from Princess. You click on it. You register. Boom. You're
you
in
scroll
the contest.
Down a little, you see a beautiful Michael, too.
And Andrew.
That's right. I'm down at the bottom of the page, I think. No
that's
doubt.
That's all right.
Well, obviously, a great chance to win. What an amazing, amazing trip that would be.
I know, right?
Because
this is
ships.
With the deck and the windows and the stuff.
Gorgeous.
All the good stuff.
All the ocean, man. I could use ocean right
it's
now.
It actually equates to a $5,000 trip.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, and a bargain even at that.
Yeah, exactly.
We'd also like to acknowledge, of course, PerformingArtsLive.com, one of the Internet's most prominent listing sources for the live arts here in Southern California. We're grateful to Performing Arts Live for lending their support to State of the Arts.
That's right. Mike Napoli and his crew down there have been such a wonderful support system for us ever since we premiered in 2009.
That's right.
2010. What was
wow.
it? It's been 8 years
eight
ago.
Years, more
yeah,
than 8 years,
eight years
now.
Ago.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. 300-400 shows later, I think.
Wow.
Yeah. That's crazy. Crazy talk. Andrew, I haven't seen you all week before we talk to our guest.
Not true.
Well, I'm saying.
You and I got to go out on a fancy date. You took me out to nice places, and I appreciate it. I felt like a lady when you took me out, man. I got to tell you. You treated me. So you took me to the Pantages Theater.
And I had to drag along your wife, didn't I?
Well, you know, she always hampers me a little bit, doesn't she?
No, she is so lovely.
She makes me look less beautiful just because she stands next to me and gets all the attention. But then more importantly, she was sitting there and she was laughing so loud at parts of this show.
Yeah.
I was like, hey, calm down a little bit here. You're taking some of the spotlight away from the performer. She had a great time. Did you love it?
I did.
We're, of
I
course,
did.
Talking about On Your Feet at the Pantages Theater, the Gloria
the life
Stefan
story. Yes, Gloria Stefan and her husband Emilio. And I must say it was way more than I expected out of a show of this nature.
Yeah.
In fact, it doesn't deserve to be called a jukebox musical.
No, that's true.
It really is a very well-constructed musical love story between these two people. And I was really, I knew a little bit about her past, but I did not know as much as the show reveals. And I loved every minute of that. And then, of course, the iconic music and the fact that they really were trailblazers back then in bringing to the attention of the American music audience this kind of music and to the labels, you know, the record labels.
Yeah.
And who looked, you know, would grant them representation in Spanish-speaking countries, but not in the United States.
Amazing.
And some of those lines that were coming out of Emilio's mouth back to the record executives were absolutely perfect and so relevant to today.
Well, and those two performers, the two leads, but the entire cast were amazing.
They were, weren't
and
they?
And, of course, Gloria was there as well.
Gloria
as Emilio
and Emilio were and there. They took a curtain call with the cast.
And their grandson, Sasha, who had some dance moves that reminded me very much of my 8-year-old. Very good-looking dance moves.
Yeah.
Up there. So, now, I got to say, we joke a little bit about, you know, getting to have a nice night out, but you and I get out to the theater multiple times every week.
We do.
We see a lot of shows.
We
the
do.
Pantages is always one of my favorite venues to go to, but this was a really nice fit for the Pantages, too. It was a really rocking musical. I mean, you get out there, and there's some serious music in this. Of course, most of it's hers, but there's some other stuff that's been added in as well that was written specifically for the show. But I was shocked at how heart-wrenching her story is.
Yeah.
And there was stuff that wasn't even included there. We're going to try to get somebody on from that show if we possibly can.
Well, I think we're getting the two stars this coming week.
So. Pantages is always very good about sending us those great folks. But I want to talk, too, about what happened with Gloria's real life, because there was even more drama in her real life than they had room to fit in the show.
Right.
So some really cool stuff, including I heard that her son, for years and years and years after the accident, of course, she was in a terrible bus crash, but her son thought it was his fault because he'd been playing Step on a Crack and Break Your Mother's Back for the day before, and this little boy at the time thought that this was his fault. And the whole show revolves around this really heartfelt family dynamic where they're going to make it against all odds. If you get a chance to get your tickets, check out On Your Feet at the Pantages. You won't be disappointed.
And that's HollywoodPantagesTheater.org for tickets. And, of course, you can go to their box office on a daily basis, and they're open for an extended amount of time.
Yeah.
And we urge you to go to the box office or HollywoodPantages.org because if you go through Ticketmaster, who does carry the tickets, their service charge is extravagantly expensive.
Yeah.
Not that we don't like them, but we just want people to be able to see the show.
Sometimes there's an easier way. That's right. So I think one of the things great about that show, too, is it is great for younger people. You can log on and see the age restrictions, that sort of thing. But it was a really family-friendly show for the most part, and lots of good stuff and great, great music.
So. And people standing up dancing in the aisles at the end of the show was just
I had a good time. You had a good time, too?
Yeah, I had
you and I were
kind of
seated
time.
Away from each other, but I kept looking over there, and you were head-bobbing a little bit there.
Yeah.
You're having a good time. Between you head-bobbing and my wife laughing, I just kind of sat back and enjoyed both
Rachel,
shows.
If you're listening to this show, I apologize for what your husband is saying about you.
I told her, it was so funny. On the way home, we were singing the songs, like, the whole way, and I didn't realize realize how many of her songs I knew. You know, it's like I knew them, but I didn't realize how much they were kind of ingrained in my personality growing up during that time. Right. So that was cool, too. We had a good time bopping to it on the way home.
Yeah,
so.
Very nice.
Shall we get to these fine-looking and talented gentlemen?
I think we should.
Let's do it. Our first guest is an award-winning singer and songwriter known for his distinctful, soulful approach to music. He has performed internationally as well as up and down the famed Las Vegas Strip at prominent Las Vegas venues, including the Smith Center for the Performing Arts.
He was honored with the 2015 Hollywood Music in Media Award for Male Vocalist of the Year for his original song, From Another Time. In 2016, he released his critically acclaimed single, Remember Love, about the effects of Alzheimer's. Proceeds from this song are donated to the Cleveland Clinic, Lou Ruvo Center for Brain Health.
That's right. Released in 2017, his latest album, Chadwick Johnson, Live in Las Vegas, features his five of his original tunes and dozens of other unique interpretations of songs that we all know and love.
He's here today to talk about his fascinating career, which has included collaborations with many influential producers, including David Foster, and even a command performance for President Clinton. Please welcome this remarkably talented young performer to the show, Chadwick Johnson.
Thank you, Michael. Andrew, so great to be here. Thank
great
you guys for having
you
me.
Here.
Hey, I had a chance to read up on Chadwick a little bit. I hadn't realized, I mean, seriously, Vegas has a lot of stuff going on outside of the main casinos, too.
Yeah.
I was shocked. Some really great artistic stuff going there right now.
Yeah, it's booming. It's a city that's, you know, as historic as it is, it's still growing. And,
yeah.
And so many great headliners are coming back. You know, Celine Dion kicked that off several years ago. So
great.
It's cool.
It's great.
Yeah.
The last time I was there for any length of time, I was handling a show that was at the Aladdin Theater for the Performing Arts. And it was the comeback of Debbie Reynolds and Robert Goulet. It was his show, and Debbie was a guest star, and Rip Taylor and Donald O'Connor.
Wow.
All on the same stage.
Wow.
Because, this is the sad part, Vegas would not book them anywhere else on the Strip because they were not contemporary headliners.
Wow.
So Robert and his wife, who managed him, Vera.
Vera, she's a good friend of mine, actually.
Yes, yes. Yeah. They put their resources together, and we produced this. I included, was kind of on the production team, and then also handling their public relations. This beautiful show that was at the Aladdin, which is a huge venue, that theater. Is it still there, the theater?
No, the Aladdin's not there anymore.
Oh, the hotel's not there?
Mm-mm.
Holy cow. Well, that's how long ago it was. the people who were privileged enough to see that show had a ball. You know, Rip Taylor.
Oh, I bet. Those are iconic.
Those days are gone up there, but...
Yeah. Yep.
But we do have people, like you said, Celine Dion.
Oh, and Lady Gaga starting a new residency there in December,
yes.
I believe.
At what venue?
At the New Park Theater.
Amazing.
Yeah, there's a brand new theater there.
Wow.
Yeah. So
that's
it's a great city to be in.
That's not in a hotel. That's independent.
It's a part of, it used to be the Monte Carlo. Now it's called the Park.
Uh-huh.
And so they have the Park Theater. Yeah,
wow.
It's an MGM property.
How's the Wynn property doing up there?
The Wynn's, it seems to be doing great, you know? Yeah.
It had a showstopper. I think the name of the show was Showstoppers.
Yeah, it was Steve Wynn's project. He did that show for a couple years.
Wow.
Huge
was it
production.
A couple years?
Yeah, huge production.
Well, I know a good friend of mine starred in it, David Burnham.
Oh, yeah.
You know David?
I've met him. Yep.
Do you know David? You do? Oh, fantastic.
Yeah. Cool.
So, you know, and I feel like I grew up in Las Vegas because of my parents' connections there.
That's
we
right.
were there quite frequently. Yeah, so
spending time at the pool, meeting Elvis, all kinds of great things in Vegas. Yeah,
having breakfast with Elvis.
Right.
Wow.
I was a child. I was a kid. I was like a little boy.
Michael's early life could be a book. There's no doubt about it.
So, at any rate, Chad was on Fox Morning News.
I heard that. That's right. How'd that go?
Good Day
morning?
LA. It
beautiful
was great. They were so
there.
Wonderful to work
with.
Everyone was so pro, and it was fun, and it's a great-looking studio, and I haven't got to see the footage yet, but hopefully it turned out great.
And your wonderful musical director, Terry Wallman,
yes, he was there
accompanying
with me as
you
well.
On the guitar.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Were you nervous at all or no? Because you certainly didn't look. I think you've done things like this before.
I've done a lot of TV in Las Vegas.
Because I noticed you were all very, very savvy with the camera. So.
Oh, good, good. I'm glad.
Good looking and talented. You don't have to worry about too much. The rest of us got to fake our way through it, you know? These guys can just sit and be themselves. It's a pretty good thing.
So something that impresses me about you, Chadwick, is the fact of this cause that you have.
That's right.
Attached to your CD of Alzheimer's. It must be coming from a personal place.
I think it's probably true for many of us. There's many personal connections for me with the loss of memory. My grandfather is struggling with it right now. I don't often talk about it because I don't want to make anyone in the family uncomfortable. But he's struggling with it right now. His mother had it. My early memories was of my grandmother taking care of my great-grandmother, who had Alzheimer's, and she took care of her for, 10, 15
years.
Your
grandmother was taking care of your great-grandmother.
Yeah, her mother-in-law.
Wow.
So it runs in that side of the family. And then when I lived here in Los Angeles, a friend of mine put together activities at assisted living facilities right here nearby. And she invited me often to come in and sing for people. And, I have some profound memories there singing for one memory that sticks out was a lady. They said she hadn't spoken over a year.
Wow.
And I was singing, songs that are old and nostalgic. And it happened to be What a Wonderful World that I was singing. And this lady started singing along with me. She had a breakthrough moment, and she had tears running down her face, and she was singing with me. And I remember that moment thinking that music is just so powerful.
It sits in a different place in the brain.
Of all the cool places I've had the chance to perform, I don't know if there was one moment that is more profound for me as a singer and performer. So I don't know why music does that to someone that is struggling with their memory, but for some reason, and I've heard this story over and over, that music really is a connector.
Mm-hmm.
And often music, takes us back to a certain point in our life. So.
Well, and I think that also it's said often about Alzheimer's that the long term is not affected as much as the short term in memory. So perhaps that was the case with her recalling that.
I'm definitely not an expert on it, but it seems like it starts with the short term and it goes further and further back as it goes, so...
But we were talking a little bit before the show. I mean, of course, the disease is nicknamed the slow farewell because it takes so long to take away all your faculties. And it really is like watching somebody drift away in front of you. But at the same time, there's been some really great research saying, hey, look, this may be preventable, or certainly you can delay its effects. In fact, you were telling a story about someone who went in and was diagnosed very early on. How early did you say it can be diagnosed?
Well, the doctors that I've become friends with through writing this song are saying that they have tests now that can predict it 15 years out.
So 30, 35 years old even, you can...
Well, one doctor that I'm friends with, Dr. Cummings, he said the earliest or the youngest person he had seen diagnosed with it was at 35 years old. Obviously, that's extremely rare.
Right.
But I think the statistics are every 63 seconds, another person...
My goodness.
Develops Alzheimer's.
Wow.
Or some sort of dementia,
right.
There's, so.
Something was on the news just yesterday about a child having lost his memory. And
dementia.
Attribute, yet.
Ugh.
Huh.
They were calling it Alzheimer's, and they were, the family was going through a funding campaign of trying to get assistance for him.
Right.
So.
The thing about it is I think it's so important for young people to be talking about it and realizing it's something important, because I think the only thing that I keep hearing and seeing people talk about is clean living is important. And we also need to raise awareness so that there's funding. The more noise we make, the more funding can happen so we can find a cure or something to at least,
Well, you wrote a beautiful, beautiful song about this, and we want to play a little bit of that, Andrew, and let our listeners have a taste of this young man's mental capacity for other people and how he puts it into a lyric and how he sings a song and his beautiful voice in doing so.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Chadwick Johnson, Remember Love.
Mm-hmm.
quite sure of where you've been. Unnamed faces, familiar places. Will you connect it all again? Can't hold the moments that made you mine. We're losing who and how and when. Missing traces, time erases. Won't lose who you are, just where you've been. You remember love, so you
an amazing piece, but more importantly, such an amazing tribute to people who are going through that experience, because it can be funny, it can be sad, it can be awful, of course, but everybody's experience is so personal dealing with this disease, obviously.
Well, and both my parents died of it, and so I'm especially touched by your song.
Well, thank
hard
you.
For me to even just speak about that. But there's an important organization that all of you should pay attention to, and it is the Alzheimer's Association, and they have a helpline if you know of anyone that is approaching or you think might be disabled mentally, and it could perhaps be Alzheimer's. And the helpline is 800-272-3900. And for the hard of hearing, it's 866-403-3073. And the Alzheimer's Association is there all the time, ready to help you, free of charge, on those numbers. And they have highly trained and knowledgeable staff to do just that for you. So we encourage you to pick up the phone under these circumstances. We also encourage you to listen to that song a second time by going out and getting the CD, by going out if you can. Is it in stores at all, or is it all online?
CDs are really usually only at my shows, so it's iTunes. You can order the CD, though, on Amazon. I guess that's true.
And obviously you have constant dates in Vegas where people go and
see
you.
I do, yeah.
And of course, go ahead.
I play regularly at the Red Rock Casino and other spots.
I love this. And, of course, online at your website, which is a great resource. I had a blast watching some of your videos. You had rodeo videos on there, too, didn't you?
Yeah.
He's a rodeo
that
boy.
Too.
I'm telling you. Yeah, and
it's a whole other side
it's
of
it. Really cool. It's a really cool website just to visit. Go to Chadwick Johnson. That's, of course, Chadwick Johnson.com. You're going to have a good time there. You're going to hear some great, great music. Your new CD has how many tracks? 17 tracks?
I think it's 17. And remember, it's a live album done at the Smith Center in Las Vegas, but then the bonus track is Remember Love,
which is obviously the piece we just heard, and so beautiful. And a portion of the proceeds of the CD sales, of the whole CD, go to the Cleveland Clinic, which is doing amazing research on Alzheimer's and, of course, everything that goes along with that disease, the upkeep of people who are dealing with it now, but the prevention of it and the identification of it so you can treat it early, which, as we're finding out, you were saying earlier, is so important. Tell me about what you mean by clean living. First of all, by any definition, I missed the boat on that one. Long time ago, clean living left the harbor for me. But tell me, what would it mean to go and kind of pursue clean living?
I am definitely not an expert. You know, I am an artist who wrote a song about a cause that's so close to my heart that I love. But,
I think all the time.
But I am through the song, and that's what they all say. I mean, they all talk about blueberries and leafy greens, and some people talk about coconut oil. And I believe the Cleveland Clinic, LuRuvo Center for Brain Health, they have on their website, they have, I don't remember what it's called, but a section that's about clean living and healthy living.
And they can go to
clean living for your brain or something like that.
Cleveland
Clinic, LuRuvo Center for Brain Health.
And where are they located?
In Las Vegas.
Okay, so
if you're ever downtown Las Vegas, that really cool silver building with all the unique shapes like a brain.
Yeah.
That's their
very cool. Well, not only that, but they do great work on the Cleveland Clinic, obviously.
They do. They just had the Power of Love Gala every year in Las Vegas, and they just had that a couple months ago, and Michael Bublé was the headliner.
Yeah. Nice.
Nice.
There's a lot of great people trying to, help with that. Yeah.
Obviously, our job is to entertain, and that's your job as well. You do it so well, but this is a great cause.
I do want to give a shout out to my co-writer. I wrote that song with a great artist, Kalani Kwapo. He's an actor and a songwriter, and I couldn't have done it without him.
Can you spell that name for us?
Kalani, Kalani, Hawaiian. Kwapo, Kweypo.
Awesome. Now, did you do the lyrics and he did the music, or was
we both do both together? I do the music and then we do the lyrics together, and
And he is he approximately your age?
Yeah,
cool.
So he's in Budapest shooting a show. Right,
you're
now
both very old souls, I think.
Yes, very, very.
You'd be able to write those kinds of lyrics.
Very cool.
You know, it's just, I think the whole inspiration for that song was just that even though you may be losing your memory, I think we all connect to the feeling of love, and we remember love. And so your loved one might not remember you, but in that moment, that connection of you being loving to them, they're going to remember that loving feeling. And so that was our positive thought behind it.
No doubt. So, a great way to put that.
Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
I hope you sell many, many copies of your CD and this song.
Thank you.
chatted, will you stay around and talk to us a little bit more after
a
break?
Of course, yeah.
Thank you.
Having a great time. Thank you.
Guest as well. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for our live arts calendar. Set in a small Texas town, Daddy's Dying, Who's Got the Will stages the reunion of a family gathered to wait the imminent death of their patriarch, who has recently suffered from physical and mental debilitating stroke.
Disabling.
Thank you. That's what I was like. See, now there's a lot of words and letters, man, and those are hard to put together into words and sentences. Debilitating stroke. They wanted their father's love, but they settle for his money. This winning LA Weekly Theater Awards best production for best playwriting is not so much the story of impending demise of a father or the drafting of his will, but yet a rebirth of the spirit of the family unit.
So don't miss this hilarious offering from the Kentwood Players at the Westchester Playhouse on stage July 13th through August 18th. For tickets or more information, call 310-645-5156 or visit kentwoodplayers.org.
That's right. Great show. And so many great shows there on Performing Arts Live. People can go find out about them and all the wonderful things going on here in L.A.
Yes, indeed.
And now for our next guest, ladies and gentlemen, a graduate of Emory University who also completed his MFA in directing at Yale, our next guest is a producing artistic director of the East-West Players. Some of his directing credits include the L.A. premiere of Allegiance, the world premiere production of A Nice Indian Boy and the Who's Tommy.
He has directed plays at the Old Globe Theater in San Diego, my hometown, I might add, Boom Arts in Portland, and the Old Vic in London, and he has worked at more than a dozen theaters in New York.
He was awarded Emory's Benston Award for Excellence in Theater Studies, was a resident director of the theater at Emory, is a member of the Lincoln Center's Director's Lab, and was a literary fellow with the London's Royal Shakespeare Company.
Oh, a telephone call is coming.
Oh, well, we better answer it. Tell them we said hi.
It's an important one. I'm just going to have to call them
back.
Duck
out. That's right.
How Hollywood. Let's continue with this gentleman's intro. A Soros fellow and the recipient of Tanny Award. He was in the inaugural class of Theater Communications Group's Spark Leadership Program and was the first recipient of the Drama League's Classical Directing Fellowship. Please welcome Snehal Desai. So nervous to say that. So nervous.
But it's a beautiful name, though. It's an Indian name?
It's an Indian name, yeah.
And Desai, is that right?
That's the easier part. But the first name again?
Snehal,
sorry.
But it's interesting, too. I mean, I love Indian names. I love Indian culture. I've fallen in love with Indian food, particularly, is it northern India where it's vegetarian?
I would say almost all of India
really?
Is vegetarian.
Okay, good.
But yes, primarily the northern.
Shocked by the spices and the Indian markets that have these amazing things. So I've fallen in love with everything connected with India. You directed or you were in A Nice Indian Boy?
I directed A Nice Indian Boy.
Where did that project come from? Because I remember hearing about it at the time.
So that was the first thing that I directed here in L.A. It won it was third place in this playwriting competition that East-West Players
It was an original work, correct?
It was an original
I remember
work
that.
By Madhuri Shaker, who is right now at Juilliard getting her MFA. And it's about a Indian boy, you know, an Indian man, if you want, who wants to... that big Bollywood wedding. I just came from a 3-day Indian wedding, but he's gay.
And it's hard.
Yeah, and he's in love with a white man, and so he has to come out and tell his parents and everything. And so, it was the first thing that I directed out here.
Wow.
And it was what really introduced me to East-West Players and where I really saw the community of Asian American artists out here, but also where I really fell in love with the theater. The story I like to tell is that we do previews before opening, and we do a week of previews. And at the end of previews, there were a couple of folks that I was like, didn't I see you here last night? And they were like, we saw the show 3 times already.
Right.
And that was out of 4 previews. And, you know, I see a lot of theater. You both see a lot of theater. And I rarely go back and see anything.
That's true.
But at East-West Players, I find our audiences come back frequently when when we've done it right, when we've told a story in a genuine way and reflected a community well. They see it, and then they come back with their family and their friends again and again. We saw that this past year with Allegiance.
Which is, of course, the George Takei piece. And we, of course, featured that on this show. And it was fascinating and frighteningly timely. When you look at everything that's going on in our planet, the idea of how do we take care of families that may not be directly in our country, born here, that aren't citizens of the country, how do we take care of those people who are here, and how do we make that journey as seamless as possible to transition into a new society that they're moving to?
Well, so you know, anything I've ever seen at East West has always been, you know, par excellence. And you,
right.
you know, from Follies, the musical, mm-hmm. which was stunning, what is the other show that's on Broadway that John Rubenstein created the role? It was the first Broadway show I ever saw, actually.
I don't know.
Gosh, it started at your theater, and then it went to New York, and it's Pippin. It was Pippin.
Ah. That started at East West Players there?
Yeah, a new version of it.
That it premiered at East West. That's fantastic. Great.
And it's the version that went to Broadway, am I correct?
Yeah, we did Pippin a number of years ago.
Right.
I think that it was revisited and that since then.
Right.
Very cool.
I mean, they had to, you know, the composers, of course, had to give their permission for this different angle that East West put on that show, which was really, I thought, more interesting than the actual original one.
Yeah.
So I am a big fan of their work, and this is the longest running professional theater of color in the country.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
And the largest producing organization of Asian American artistic work. So anytime you want to go downtown Los Angeles to their lovely, lovely space, their lovely theater, you will be guaranteed a good show. So you've got a beautiful season coming up. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so we have our 53rd season, and it's a three-show season celebrating our 20th anniversary in our space. And we open with this kind of rollicking new play called Viet Gone by Quy Nguyen. And it's the Los Angeles premiere of this play. And what I love, our whole season is called Culture Shock. And so, which is, I think, what a lot of us are experiencing right now in the country. And we wanted to really reflect what the immigrant experience was like, what that experience was like to be the other and vice versa, what it's like to be an immigrant to this country, and then what it also feels like to be an American abroad. So we open up with Viet Gone. And what I love about that is that it's a... it has hip hop, it has sass, it's about revolution, but it's also a love story and a rom-com about being an immigrant and being a refugee. So that, you know, what I think Quy has brilliantly done is he's very subversive, but he also turns the narrative on its head, right?
Cool.
So that oftentimes when we hear about being an immigrant or a refugee, it's a lot about the hardship and the suffering, which is definitely a part of that journey. But there is also joy, and there is love, and there are families that come out of that. So we open with Viet Gone, which is just an amazing piece of theater. And we're doing it in the fall, and then South Coast is actually doing the sequel to it, Poor Yellow Rednecks, in the spring.
Poor Yellow Rednecks. That's South Coast repertory, of course.
South
okay,
Coast,
wonderful.
Exactly.
Great, great, great.
And then we continue our season with a world premiere called Man of God, which is, we're calling a funny feminist thriller, if you will. So it's inspired by a true story about four Korean Christian girls from Southern California who go to Thailand. They make a discovery in the bathroom.
Yeah, we may have a no spoiler alert there.
Yeah.
My goodness, wow.
And it wasn't indigestion.
It sounds like such an amazing. This is obviously such a beautiful theater. And if you haven't been out to East West Players, go visit them, because every piece they do there is important, and more importantly, very well done. But I want to ask you a little bit about how you go about choosing your plays, because you do more original works than most theaters of your size. How do you go about choosing what original works you're going to feature?
I think there's two things. I mean, one is that Asian America is a very broad umbrella, right? So that is,
right?
You know, we reflect countries that literally have populations of billions and billions of individuals. And so for us, it's about being very specific and saying we're going to do a play that reflects the Chinese American experience or the Vietnamese American experience. And so we're looking at which community stories haven't been told. And so that goes into the curating the season. And then for me, it's often about what is the theme. So last year, our theme was The Company We Keep. It was our 52nd anniversary. We were dealing with the elections. We did five co-productions. And I felt like it was all about size and scale and visibility for communities of color. And so that's why we partnered for the Los Angeles premiere of Allegiance with George Takei, with the Japanese American Cultural and Community Center. We partnered with Center Theater Group on the new David Henry Hwang musical, Soft Power. We partnered with the Roby Theater on
which I heard was wonderful.
it was really an extraordinary new musical, and I think something not seen at the Amundsen for sure. And then we partnered with the Roby Theater Company on Johan with Danny Glover, which is about an interracial
relationship. I remember seeing that as well,
And so for us, it was, you know, every year I think about what is going on in our climate and how can we have a season that really explores that.
Now, when I was reading up on you a little bit, it said that you, of course, grew up here in Southern California. Is that correct?
I actually grew up in Pennsylvania.
I was reading about your story, and you said that you were third-generation American. Is that right?
No, I'm first. And my first parents immigrated over.
So second-generation American. I'm sorry, first-generation born.
Yeah.
But it was your father who came over. Can you tell us a little bit about that immigrant story and how that happened?
Yeah, so my parents both came over in the 70s. And, you know, they grew up in the same small town. My mom actually got her visa first. And as I understand the story, her father said, "You are not going to America unmarried." And so she had to find a husband. And so she and my dad got married and engaged in 10 days.
Wow.
And then she came over here.
Wow.
And how did they meet? Did someone introduce them?
They grew up in the same, literally in the same
block. Okay.
Right? So, right. So they knew each other.
Oh, they knew.
And they were friends. But yeah, they never kind of saw each other that way, I think, maybe.
That's great. Well, it was funny to hear that a little bit. And obviously, see, you started as a dramaturge at East West Players, is that correct?
Correct. I started as the lit manager about 4 years ago.
Cool.
And then,
well, you seem to be awfully young to be assuming this position of the artistic director of East West Players. Are you their youngest?
Thank you. That's why I grew the beard.
That's when you say I'm actually 97 years old.
Exactly.
I just look really good for my age.
It's the coconut oil. You know, early on, the other interesting thing for me was that there's not many. I was also a poli sci major. I think a lot of Asian parents, my parents wanted me to go to either med school or be a lawyer or an engineer. And so in college, I was poli sci major initially, and I was interested in doing that. And I kept thinking about how to affect change and how we can affect change in a large scale. Well, one way is through policy, right? You can execute a policy that could affect millions of lives. But I was like, I'm not the best at this. I keep working for people who keep losing their elections.
And also it kills my soul on
don't
occasion.
We all.
And then the other way is to put a face and a name to a cause, to tell a story about someone. I think we live in a time where oftentimes we can't grapple with the number of deaths in Syria right now with the war, or with the, you know, with the Muslim ban or with these immigrant refugees. But what we can grapple with and hold on to is that image of that one boy after his house has been bombed in an ambulance sitting with ash. And you can remember his name and his story. And that can often, I hope, you know, motivate change. Just as I think, you know, Chadwick's beautiful song, it was, you know, there's a personal story of that. And I think the arts can make us put us in touch with our emotions and our humanity in a different way.
Very much so.
And I think that's what we need a lot of today.
Absolutely.
Very much so.
Eloquently said.
And to find out more about East West Players and to become a subscriber there, all you have to do is go to their website, which is eastwestplayers.org. Is that correct?
Correct.
Is there a telephone number that people can call?
Yeah, you can also call us at 213-625-7000.
All right.
And we're offering a special for new folks, $75 subscription for $75.
For how many shows?
75 subscriptions for $75.
Wow.
For three shows, which include our musical.
So you're seeing a show at East West Players for $25, which that's a great deal. I'm calling
amazing
as soon as the show's over. I mean, that's a great deal. And obviously,
you bet.
Can you just buzz over the names of the plays you have coming up in your upcoming season one more time so people know what to expect when they call?
Yeah. We have Viet Gone, Man of God, and then we have a musical which has not been announced yet, but it is a very fun, very big Broadway musical.
You know, if I say a name of a musical, you just have to do it now.
Like, yeah.
It's just included in your season. I may pick Oklahoma, so be careful. I thought one of the things that was really funny about looking at East West Players is how many of my friends started their careers there and continued on. It was interesting to see, of course, Joan Amedelia, who's a great friend of the show and honestly one of my favorite performers of all time. But so many people come through there because they love the atmosphere of what you do. And I think what you said about focusing on a story to make it relatable, it reminds me of a quote that we were talking about, I think, a few weeks ago on the show. When theater was first coming around, it was the only way people were exposed to other cultures. And the idea that theater is the way you're introduced to something you would never live in your normal life, I think is a great thing that you get to go do in theater, open up your horizons, and hopefully find a way to relate to people who maybe you don't normally get to meet. So what a great thing that East West Players does, and more importantly, always great, entertaining, quality shows. So we'd certainly encourage you to get out there and go see one of them as soon as you can. happen.
Absolutely. And now, embarrassing moments.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy.
Our guests are horrified. That's right.
Chadwick?
I don't know how many embarrassing moments. I mean, like a wardrobe malfunction or like...
We always give extra points for nudity.
Forgetting the lyrics.
Yes. Anything that you think is, at the time was...
Probably the most, you know, embarrassing in the moment, but then turned out really lovely, was I was singing the national anthem at a rodeo in high school. I sang it at all these rodeos. And I'm in the middle of singing. I sang it hundreds of times. And I don't know why I would forget the lyrics, but I looked down at this girl and she's getting bucked off a horse and it threw my mind and I lost the words.
Important
and it was
song.
Real embarrassing. Oh, at such a, you know, time in my life when I was so fragile and developing.
And
the whole crowd started singing where I left off.
Wow.
And got me back on track, and I finished the whole song.
That's a great
and it was
story.
So beautiful. They didn't laugh at me or, like, you know,
boo you or
yeah, boo right, me. Yeah, they yeah. just, like, realized something happened and they supported me. And that was really beautiful.
It was not a Roseanne Barr moment.
Yeah, right. I'm sure Chadwick had a little more respect than she did at the going up on the words. What an amazing thing. And you must have felt that love, obviously.
Yeah. It stuck in my mind forever because that's, you know, I was beginning my singing life in high school. And
wow.
So I think I was maybe a senior in high school then. But
yeah.
And you
yeah.
continued to sing a little bit after that, yeah?
Just a little.
What a great thing. Well, most importantly, it didn't deter you from coming back and making such a beautiful career, but that's a great thing.
Yeah, thanks.
Snehal, what do you got for us?
I guess it's a little bit of a combination. I used to have a solo show that I wrote and performed in that I started while I was in graduate school, and then I toured afterwards, called Finding Ways to Prove You're Not an Al-Qaeda Terrorist When You're Brown. subtle humor, as I like to say. Yeah. And I actually start in a suitcase. Like, I fit all of my body into a suitcase.
Wow.
And then I unzip myself and come out, and I do the show. It's a 90-minute solo show. Well, one day, the curtain speech going into the show went too long, and I was already on stage in the suitcase.
You're preset in the suitcase for the entire...
Can only come out for, like, a short period of time.
Okay.
So usually they bring me out, you know, subtly at some point, and then I can be in there for about 5 minutes before.
Okay.
And it was, like, coming up on, like, 7-8 minutes,
So
I started to, like... panic in the suitcase a little
right.
bit.
Right.
It was getting hot. Right. I was like, I'm going to die in the suitcase on stage in front of all these people. And then finally the show started and I unzipped and I was like sweating.
Oh,
I was
no.
like hyperventilating. I was, and so I like got out of the suitcase and then I could not remember a word.
Sure,
show.
No kidding.
And I just sat, and then I was like, and then I had to talk for about 90 minutes. So I also was like, I have to catch my breath. And then all I could think of, and then I just started and I just kept fumbling everything. And all I could think of is the playwright is going to be so angry with me. And then I was also the playwright. And
was the playwright angry?
And I was like, I have
he
to.
He forgave him, fortunately.
Exactly. I was like, thank God.
You didn't get fired.
I didn't exactly. I was like, there's going to be a letter. So it was just a very embarrassing experience because I could not stop sweating the whole rest of the show. And then since then I was like, I'm going to stay behind the scenes.
Was that so your last time performing? Have you performed
that
since
was
then?
Pretty much, yeah.
See, now I would be tempted. I would be tempted to see if I could beat my record in the suitcase each time and start pushing the envelope. What a torture for a performer to have to start that way, too.
Yeah,
you need to talk to the playwright about that.
Yeah, I kind of stay away from small, confined spaces now on, also.
Well, I'm thrilled that you survived it, and what a great thing to be able to get through.
Really?
That.
That's one of our better stories.
Yeah, getting trapped in a suitcase. And talk about, you got to be nice to your stage crew, because, man, if they start talking long in that pre-show speech because you were
right?
2 minutes late getting to the theater or something, wow.
We had one gentleman tell us, one of our guests tell us of a story where he came on, he had a character costume on that he was inside of, and he came out on the stage, and he was really the star of the show, and he felt something going on inside of the costume, and realized after about 5 or 10 minutes that it was a rat. that was going up and down his body and over his head. And he had to continue doing the show.
Finish the show with the rat inside his costume. The moral of that, right?
Yeah.
The moral of that story is things could always be worse.
Exactly.
Whenever something happens in my performing career, I just go back and I think, at least it wasn't a live rat running up on my head.
No.
It's amazing.
No. Yeah, no.
We got to say a big thank you to both of you for being here. Thank you.
Thank you.
And Chadwick, we wish you the best of success with the CD and your upcoming performances in Las Vegas and elsewhere. And to East West Players, who, ladies and gentlemen, again, they are local. They are in Los Angeles. Get downtown. See downtown. Downtown is a fabulous place to be. And go to eastwestplayers.org and check out their season and become season subscribers. You heard what our guest said. $75 gets you a season ticket. That's unheard of.
Great.
Right?
Yeah?
That's
amazing.
And obviously, Chadwick's website is Chadwick Johnson, and you can go there and get his great CD. And, of course, you can take the time to know that a little part of your fee for that wonderful music, which is enjoyable on its own, is going to help cure Alzheimer's and develop research. The Cleveland Clinic, obviously a great organization, so much great work they do in Las Vegas. If you're in the Las Vegas area, or even if you're not, try to donate to them in your yearly donations, because truly great work they're doing to help make longer
Let's
livings.
Give that telephone number one more time for the helpline. It's 800-272-3900. That is for the Alzheimer's Association 24/7 helpline. Call it today and find out what you need to find out. If you know people that you believe are coming into this this time of their life where this is a possibility.
That's right.
And
get checked early, obviously. That's a huge part of this is finding out early so you can take measures to prevent it. No. And so thank you again both for
being
here.
Thank you, guys.
Can't wait to see you next week,
pleasure.
Michael. I'm looking forward to it. We should have fun people on to talk again, about great musicals. We want to encourage people to go out and see On Your Feet.
On Your Feet at the Pantages Theater.
And Daddy's Dying, Who's Got the Will at Kentwood Players.
That's
and
right.
So many great shows going on around the Southland.
It's a Del Shore show. So
that's right.
You know it's funny.
Yeah. Michael, where do I see you next week?
On the radio.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Andrew David James, only on LA Talk Radio.